Hello and welcome. I'm your host, Lloyd Boll, from the website electricsense.com. My mission is finding and sharing solutions and raising awareness so that we can all live a healthy life in our electromagnetic world. Today, I'm thrilled to have as my guest, founder of JRS Electrohealth, Dr. Jan Rutger Schrader. Dr. Schrader has a PhD in electrical engineering and formerly worked in the research laboratory of a big multinational corporation designing electronic circuits for cell phones. Today, we're going to be looking in detail at Dr. Schrader's low radiation eco Wi-Fi router. We're going to ask, is it really possible to reduce Wi-Fi radiation without losing performance? So in this context, we're going to be talking about the dangers of Wi-Fi, what the studies say, and the particular dangers for our children, and how to make the internet in schools safer. Dr. Schrader is based in Dronten in Holland, and you can learn more about his work on the website jrselectrohealth.com. That's all one word, jrselectrohealth.com. Jan, welcome to the program.
Hi, Lloyd. Welcome, and thanks for having me.
Yeah, great pleasure to have you on. Thanks to everyone who sent in questions. We're going to cover as many of those as we can. And if time, we're going to take questions from listeners at the end. So if you have a microphone, you'll be able to answer your question directly to Jan. So my first question, we're going to talk about Wi-Fi and specifically your low radiation Wi-Fi solution. But first, I'd like to talk about the events in your life that led you to develop this solution. Can you fill us in on that, your experience with Wi-Fi and Wi-Fi radiation?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, yes, actually, from 10 years old, I was already a computer fanatic. So in the primary school, I would be allowed after school time to program on the Commodore 64 school computer, and I really enjoyed typing the listings and making the programs. And we had this program that you need to spell a word, and then a train would be shown in the screen. And I still remember typing still x dot for the image of that train. It took me about 3 afternoons, and then this train would appear, and I still remember this magic feeling when it worked. So I really enjoyed computers and technology from a young age on. And so quite naturally, then I went to study electrical engineering after high school, and I did a PhD. So I did a PhD in microelectronics and in communication technology. And then I worked at the CERN. So this is based in Geneva. So actually I have one microchip that I designed that is used at the CERN in the Large Hadron Collider. And it's a simple chip, but it does a delay of signals. And that was part of my first year of my PhD. So I have a technology background. And what happened then was that I started working at a large multinational in the research lab. So that's based in the south of the Netherlands. And I was working on the design of electronic circuits for mobile phones. And there I noticed after some time a clear effect on my health. And it took me a long time to really, I didn't believe it at first. Because, you know, everybody's saying there is no proof. Everybody is using that. It's the technology of the future. It was my job. All my my student friends had jobs in this industry. And it took me about half a year and a lot of, physical problems before I had to concede that this was really there was a serious problem with this technology.
What kind of symptoms did you have?
I had headaches and a very specific type of headaches. I never had headaches a lot before, and it's a sharp headache, so at a specific point, and I have it when I'm close to Wi-Fi routers, and it's also related to computer screens. And it started getting worse, so when I was sitting near this Wi-Fi router, it actually was very close to my head, so I was sitting there all day in that situation. And then after, I don't know, half a year or something, then every time when I would sit there, I started getting a headache. And when I would sit at the other side of the building, then I didn't have it. Then I would go back to my normal working place next to the router, and I got a headache again. And then I went to the library. Sorry?
Pretty clear correlation.
Yeah, so it's something that took a lot of time for me, actually. I really tested it, and I wanted to be sure about that. And it's something that it's complex, so it's also related to stress. When I'm tired, it gets worse. So it's something that is, I think, for many people who have this electromagnetic hypersensitivity, they will appreciate that. If it's also very much related to the physical shape you're in. So, for example, when I would do exercise or be fit, I would have less of a problem with the Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
So that's related to the condition. So it's not so easy. It's not like I have a sense for it or anything. It's definitely not like that, and that's also often misunderstood by the many people who don't have this.
Yeah. Okay. So that's your experience, which is really important, obviously, because that's a big motivating factor, and you can never underestimate that, because what you actually experience, live, go through on a day-to-day basis is way more powerful than any study. But the studies are important too, because people, when you haven't had this experience, then you want some kind of proof. So I guess that's my question, is if you were wanting to convince someone, you know, a neighbor or a friend, as to the dangers of Wi-Fi, what would you say to them?
What I would say to them is that there are at least 50 studies to date showing proof that the radiation from mobile phones and Wi-Fi is simply damaging DNA. And this is proven in science. There are a number of strong epidemiological studies, especially by Leonard Hardell, that are showing a correlation between mobile phone use and certain types of brain tumors. Actually, I would give them a book like the book, an excellent book called Overpowered, written by Martin Blank, a PhD, who has spent 30 years on research into biological effects of wireless radiation. And he is, this book is full of scientific proof. So really, the weird situation that we are in today is that government health councils are saying there is no consistent proof. And technically, they are right. Because when you have 50 studies showing DNA damage, you can also find 50 studies that say, oh, we looked into DNA damage and we didn't find it.
Mm.
And I think that only when you feel it, then you start really looking at this and going into it and finding all the studies, and there are acres of studies. So it's not that there is no proof, and anybody that's saying there is no proof is not telling the truth, basically.
Yeah. Well, there's several points. Well, the first thing is, yeah, you're absolutely right. The Overpowered book is brilliant. I had actually Dr. Martin Blank on a while ago and interviewed him about that. And the interesting thing was that he spent, you know, this with his background and everything, supposedly an expert on these EMFs. He spent 25 years telling, you know, lecturing students, telling them that this non-ionizing radiation was perfectly safe, until he realized just the contrary, because there was somebody else in his facility at Columbia University who was looking into this, and she said, well, hey, look at this, what you're saying actually is not right. So even experts, and several experts, another one that comes to mind is Lloyd Morgan, same thing there, electrical engineer, and thought he knew all about this, and he actually had a pretty bad what's called a grand mal brain seizure, which basically had a tumor on his brain, and which the doctors put down to EMF exposures. And the other point is what you're saying about the studies. There are studies saying that showing the contrary, that to this non-ionizing radiation, you know, which is cell phone radiation, Wi-Fi, smart meter radiation, cordless phone radiation, etc., that this form of EMFs is safe. But then when you actually look at the detail and look behind, you know, because sometimes the studies are reported very poorly, as was the case with the Interphone study. And the other thing is that the actual, you look at who's funding these studies, and Dr. Deborah Davis, she talks about this in her book also, Disconnected, where she says that basically what's happening is the money's put in front of the scientists, and they say, and you know, the cell phone companies are saying, well, hey, you know, here's X hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars, go and prove this, and we'll pay you. So in those kind of circumstances, there'll always be studies which are showing the contrary. I just want to say this before you do, Jan, because I know you're on the same page as me, and that is that before we talk about the Eco Wi-Fi router, that the safest way to connect to the internet is with a hardwired connection. Yeah, we both agreed on that, I know. But there are companies, there are institutions, places who they want to use Wi-Fi. And so so let's talk about your router, which I've tried, tested it, and it does work. If you can explain to us very briefly how it works, and then explain to us the advantages of your router over a standard router.
Okay, so I started looking into Wi-Fi and how it works, and I started measuring the Wi-Fi. Actually, so when I got into these health issues with radiation, I learned a lot of new ways to measure electrosmog. So in university class, you get, for example, you learn to use a spectrum analyzer, and this is equipment used by communication engineers. But when you look at electrosmog, so from the electrosmog perspective, there is a great company in Germany, and it's called Gigahertz Solutions. And they make, in my opinion, the best electrosmog measurement equipment. And this equipment is very accurate. So also in engineering standards, it's very accurate. And the difference with the standard communication engineering equipment is that it makes audible the modulation. And that is very important. Now, when I say this, people ask, what is modulation? And it's more often referred to in the electrosmog context as the pulse rate of the signal.
Mm-hmm.
And the pulse rate is, you can ask Martin Blank or any one of those experts, is extremely important when looking at the biological effect of electrosmog sources. So what is modulation and why is this equipment pulsing? Well, this is the way the information is transmitted. So by pulsing the wave on and off, the equipment transmits information. And each system has its own characteristic pulse rate. And it's usually measured in hertz. This is, of course, a simplification. But so it's only looking at the amplitude modulation. But the amplitude modulation is the most important in the biological effects. So if you look at Wi-Fi, the pulse rate is 10 pulses per second. And this was simply chosen by one of the engineers that in the early days developed Wi-Fi. I think it may even have been a Dutch guy, if I'm not mistaken. And Wi-Fi was originally envisioned as a system for cash registers. And at that time, nobody ever knew that it would become so big as it is now, as with many other technologies. And they chose, they just happened to choose a 10 hertz pulse rate. So 10 times per second, a Wi-Fi router is simply dumbly transmitting its name. And it's saying, my name is my Wi-Fi point. And it's doing that 10 times per second. And if you measure that, make it audible with one of those gigahertz solutions devices or with an acoustimeter, like you did in the video on your website, then suddenly you understand that this choice has resulted in a signal that to the body sounds like and with very sharp pulses. And also someone like Gert Oberfeld, he is from Austria, from the Ärztekammer. So in Salzburg, he is responsible for the health issues, to watching at the health issues of wireless technology. And he has recently written a publication together with a number of experts in the field. And they are saying the Wi-Fi pulse rate and the sharpness, the steepness of this pulse is very biologically active. And it, it just happens to be an unlucky choice in that sense. So I started looking into how I could change this. And one
the thing is actually, I was just going to make the comment before you go on, is that it's the thing that struck me is, well, how is it nobody's thought of this before?
Well, I think that the guys who develop these technologies, I was one of those before, and they're working for the large companies. And the whole context of thinking is different. It's just think in terms of the highest megabit per second rate, the best range, and also the lowest power. So low power is a very important design drive. So that is good for electrosmog, because that actually is reducing electrosmog. So I have some good hopes that in the future the Wi-Fi radiation from many wireless devices will actually be reduced. Maybe not even because they have come to understand and reduce electrosmog, but just because they want to reduce the power and improve the battery life of devices.
Yeah.
And okay. Once you start measuring with gigahertz solutions equipment and you hear the modulation, and you're not just looking at visual representation on a spectrum analyzer, then you start to understand that that there's a whole different aspect to this equipment and the electromagnetic radiation that it produces.
Yeah. And that's what I discovered when I took readings and made the comparison between, because I've heard Wi-Fi before. Well, I've kind of heard Wi-Fi and I've kind of heard cell towers, and I kind of knew what they were, but when you measure with an acoustimeter or a cornet or whatever, a meter which can give you the audio, and you compare that, and you've got like a machine gun sound on a regular router, and then you put switch that off and you put yours on, and then it's one a second, and that's
exactly
that's and quite a discovery.
Yeah, that is just so that is the result, but it took a lot of development to get there, because one thing is that people never want to make a step back in what they have in terms of technology and the ease of use, and so nobody wants to stop using their mobile phone. So if you offer a new technology that is low radiation, then everybody still wants to have the best speed and the best range.
Yeah.
And that is where it becomes really hard, because you need to do it in such a way that everything is still working. And so, that is the key point and the hardest point. So what I am doing is I am developing electronics from a perspective of minimizing radiation while still keeping the performance and the same performance,
right,
the exact same performance as the normal devices.
So very clearly, the advantages of your router, if you were to be the salesman, I know it's not in your nature, but if you were to be the salesman of this router, then, you know, comparing it to regular, so what would you say? What would you say to somebody? Why would they choose your router over a regular one?
So I would say 90% less radiation in your home. So when the router is in standby, it gives 90% less radiation, 90% less pulses per second compared to an ordinary router. So this is achieved by the software, the unique software that is on this router that makes it a low radiation router. Still, the performance is the same, and this router actually offers a measurable difference. You can go out with an electrosmog meter, a technical measurement device, and it will show you that this is a solution which has a technically reduced radiation. So apart from all the, there are many companies that sell all kinds of electrosmog harmonization devices, my company stands out by providing a measurable solution. And that is what is the unique point, let's say.
Yeah. Let me put a question here, if I can, from someone who sent this in. I think this will highlight a good point. So it's Elizabeth in West Hartford. And she says, could you please provide data on how much lower the RF output is from your router as compared to a typical unfriendly router? She says, for example, standing at X feet from a typical router, you would find X microwatts per square meter as measured, X meters, whereas with this new, with your router standing at the same distance, you get a reading of watt. So that's her question.
Yes, that's a very good question. So it's important to separate between two different things. So the first thing is the pulse rate. The pulse rate is reduced with 10 times. The second aspect is the transmission power. So this is to say the energy or the power in the individual pulses. So the pulse rate reduction comes for free. There is no, you don't have to pay in terms of range or speed. The other possibility is to reduce the energy in the pulses, and that will reduce the microwatts per square meter, but it will reduce the range of the router. So yeah. It depends on the size of your home, and oftentimes it can be reduced down to a factor of 10, and you still have enough range in the house.
Okay. So,
in terms of microwatts per square meter, it would go down
to
a factor of 10 in comparison to the maximum setting. If you measure it in volts per meter, like in your video, that would be the square root of 10. So approximately a factor of 3 difference you would see on the meter.
Okay. And got another question from Bruce in Milwaukee, who says, are there any limitations on the number of devices connected, transmission speed, operating system, etc.?
Yes, very good question too. So the great thing about this router is that it doesn't pose any limitations in terms of speed, range, or the number of devices that you can connect. So that is really the same as with an ordinary Wi-Fi router. If you say, okay, can I use this router for a situation like in a school, where you have, let's say, professional use with 30 devices streaming video all the time, which for me, by the way, that's a nightmare scenario, but we may talk about that later. Then I say, no, this is a router for home use, and for professional situations, you would use a professional system and make adjustments in that in order to achieve a lower radiation. So I do that also. There's a large hotel chain here, and I'm working together with a professional Wi-Fi installer. And in that case, we use professional routers, and we get into the settings. Yeah, but that's still, devices.
Yeah.
Still, the problem with the devices remains the same, and that's The router is low radiation, yes, but still the device, it emits radiation. And to change the level of radiation of the device is not impossible, but it really depends on the device. For example, with some Windows laptops, you can actually reduce the transmission power. And that that makes a lot of difference. But on an iPad, it's impossible. And on many tablets, it's also not possible. So that's what I meant to say in the start, that it would be great if in the future the manufacturers would also look into that.
Yeah, if that could be a standard feature, that we could reduce transmission power on all these devices that are emitting Wi-Fi, yeah?
Yeah, actually, from what I measure today, many devices have a huge overkill in transmission power. People are sitting quite close to the router, and still most wireless devices are transmitting at full power all the time. So it's that's a shame, really.
It is a huge shame, to put it mildly. And because obviously the long-term impact of that is potentially devastating, given what the studies are saying. And then also there's the factor of how you use these devices, isn't there? Because you've got the standby, and then you've got maybe exchanging data, email, whatever, I don't know. And then you've got streaming. And if you're streaming, then the Wi-Fi radiation levels are higher, are they not? The exposure levels are higher. Well, already so that's also important and to be avoided.
Yeah,
if you are using Wi-Fi.
Wi-Fi is two-way traffic. And so for every packet that is sent by the router, a much smaller confirmation packet is sent back by the wireless device.
Yeah.
And but still, that is yet another pulse. And especially with streaming video, it's many megabits per second. And the wireless device will also be sending many confirmation packets back.
Okay. So, got another question on this on your device here from Chris in St. Petersburg, who says, my Verizon cable company supplies me with a combination TV cable router box, W1 router box, he says. Can I use this router instead or in addition to my router box?
Mm-hmm. That is a very good question, and it's great to hear that it's coming even from St. Petersburg. So you really have people listening in from all over the world. That's absolutely...
Well, no, I think it says St. Petersburg FL, which I think means Florida.
Okay. Well, that's okay. That's also far
but anyway,
from
if there are any Russians listening, hi to you guys.
So, yes, definitely you can. So the Eco Wi-Fi is a separate access point. So it is simply connected to the internet modem using a standard network cable that's included. And many internet modems nowadays, and this is very important, are 3-in-1 combination modems. So they actually have a built-in Wi-Fi. Actually, yesterday I was in Amsterdam doing a measurement at a client of Electrosmog, and half of the Wi-Fi networks are from Ziggo. And she had a list of 35 Wi-Fi networks in the area.
Yeah.
Half of them are from Ziggo, and Ziggo is one of the largest internet providers in the Netherlands. And they just keep increasing the Wi-Fi power on their modems, and there is a modem and there is a box near the television that is also transmitting Wi-Fi. And then the most important thing is to turn off the built-in Wi-Fi of your internet modem. And this is something that you can contact the customer service about.
Yeah.
And you really need to do that, because that's very important, because it would be a shame to buy a low radiation eco Wi-Fi router and then, without knowing it, your internet modem is still pumping out Wi-Fi at 10 pulses per second. So that is very important. And in some cases, you can do it yourself. The easiest, if there is actually a button on the internet modem, so to turn Wi-Fi off. And sometimes it's also possible to type in the number that is on the bottom of the internet modem and to log in to a settings screen and to turn off Wi-Fi yourself.
Okay. So, excellent information, Jan. So just a reminder, if you've joined us, my name is Lloyd Borrell, and today I'm interviewing Jan Rutger Schroeder. If we've got time, I'll be taking questions at the end. If you're listening by telephone or Skype and you've got a question for Jan, then press star 2 on your phone dial. This tells me you've got a question to ask. If you're listening on the internet via the web call page and you have a microphone, you can ask your question by clicking on the button which says raise a hand on that page. Yeah, so excellent information. And just to another point here is that you've also got the ability to get a 100% reduction, have you not, in Wi-Fi exposures with your device via scheduled Wi-Fi deactivation.
Yes, exactly. So there is a manual option that allows you to have the Wi-Fi automatically switch off completely, so 100%. It will be 100% off during certain times. So you can set a time when it turns off, and you can set a time when it will turn back on again. Also, there is a push button, so you can manually turn it off. Yes, so this is the feature that you have to automatically turn off Wi-Fi. So, for example, at night, you can set it to turn off completely.
Mm-hmm.
Another possibility is to use a restriction on a device. So, for example, you can set a rule to for the smartphones of the kids to disallow internet access after, let's say, 9 o'clock in the evening, or what you want.
Mm. Okay. And so we've talked about the advantages, and the advantages for me are huge, and I'm sure the people are listening can appreciate this. But then, is there any reason why you wouldn't want to be using your device? I mean, given that you are open and if you're a health conscious person, obviously there is a cost in buying your device, but is there any reason you wouldn't want to be using your device?
Well, it's better not to use Wi-Fi, of course.
Agreed.
It's much better to use a cabled internet connection, because that is radiation free. But nowadays it's very hard to have no Wi-Fi at all, and the children at school, actually they have complete teaching programs that are based on iPads, and we have those schools here also in Dronten, and so it's hard to say we don't have any Wi-Fi, but that would really be best in the sense of reducing the health risk. That said, yes, there are, if I would need to mention disadvantages, you would need to include a power plug, of course. So if it has a European-style power plug, so if you order it in the USA, you would need to buy for a few dollars a plug adapter to... the voltage is international, so the voltage is the voltage of the adapter is automatically adapts to all the voltages.
Right. So what you're saying is this device can be used anywhere in any country.
Yes, exactly. It can be used anywhere. You just need to, if you want to use the access restriction, you need to set it to the correct time zone, so it will automatically get the time from internet, but you just need to set it to the U.S., so depending on where you live in the U.S., you would need to set it to the correct time zone. But that is very easy to do, and if there's any questions, we're also available by email or even by phone support. Mm. That would need to be between 9 and 6 in the evening, Central European time.
Okay.
Because otherwise you are sleeping.
You need your beauty sleep, we'll do. So just for people that are listening that are not technically minded at all, okay, then how do we install your device? We buy it, we receive it, we get it through the post, whatever, UPS, whatever. We open the box. What do we do with it? How do we fit it in? What do we connect it to?
A LAN internet cable is included. So it's really simple. You connect the LAN internet cable to the blue port of the Eco Wi-Fi, and the other side you connect to one of the, usually there are four, usually yellow ports on the internet modem, and you can use one of those to connect the other part of the cable. You screw the antennas onto the Eco Wi-Fi and plug it into the outlet, and then you set the Wi-Fi password, and you can also reduce the transmit power if you want to minimize the radiation, and depending on the size of your house, so you would need to try if the range is enough with the reduced radiation. And then the last thing you need to do is call your internet provider and ask them to turn off the built-in Wi-Fi if it is built in into your internet modem. And that's it, really.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Some people don't always have control over that. They need to call their internet provider. So that's an important point. And really, the ideal situation is where you've got an RF meter, radio frequency meter, and you can see what's going on yourself. You can test whether the devices, any of your devices, are emitting radio frequency radiation.
With a smartphone also. So in Amsterdam yesterday, we had quite some trouble turning off the Wi-Fi of this internet modem. And what Ziggo is doing, they provide something called Wi-Fi spots. And they, using all the individual Wi-Fi routers of their customers, they provide a public Wi-Fi network. And even when you log into the settings screen of the internet modem, you turn off your private Wi-Fi because it's actually transmitting two networks. So it's private Wi-Fi and the Wi-Fi spots. So we turned everything off, and it looked fine in the settings screen, and still it was transmitting Wi-Fi. And this was the public Wi-Fi network. So that required a login into the MyZiggo web page to turn off the Wi-Fi spots. But you can easily check it. So you just take your phone, your smartphone, and do a scan for Wi-Fi networks whilst you're holding it close to the internet modem. And if it is still transmitting any public network, it will be the first one and the strongest. And usually it has the name of the network. And some internet modems also have an LED that's indicating Wi-Fi on or off.
So when you say when you say do a scan with your smartphone, what do you mean exactly? You mean looking what the Wi-Fi, the names of the Wi-Fi devices are in the locality? Is that what you mean? Which pretty much all smartphones do, or do you mean sort of us using an app to measure the radiation?
Yeah, you can use the the normal way to look for a Wi-Fi network, and then it will usually also show the strength. I have my device that is mostly in flight mode. I used that, and it showed the Ziggo on top. And there is also an app called the Wi-Fi Analyzer, and it will actually give you the strength of those networks in a much more detailed graph, and then you can quite easily see which networks are really strong. So if you do that twice, so once before turning it off and once after it turning off, you can check whether the Wi-Fi has turned off.
Okay. So so we'll move on, because you mentioned Wi-Fi in schools, and I know you've got children of school age, and I also know that these EMFs, be it Wi-Fi, be it cell phone radiation, or be it low frequency EMFs, the children are particularly vulnerable, and there is, again, a lot of ignorance about this, and it is really the most important, in my view, is what we're doing to our kids here. So perhaps you could talk about that, and in particular, because I know you've applied a solution in your school, and so perhaps you could explain to the listeners what you did in your school.
Yes. The children are the future, and what we as a society are doing right now in the schools is a complete disaster. So I have been watching this rolling out in the Netherlands. In the past 2 or 3 years, I think 90% of the schools installed a Wi-Fi network, and I mean it's huge. There are many companies, and there are conferences where the head teachers go. There are all kinds of arguments thought up, actually, why the children should be using tablets and why it's so good. If, by the way, if you read a book like an excellent book called Digital Dementia by Manfred Spitzer, who is a brain researcher from Germany. This is page by page of evidence, and not even related to electromagnetic radiation, but showing that, to say the least, teaching only with tablets it may not be a very good idea. So now I rolled in this from the electromagnetic radiation point of view, and what I see happening in the schools now is that they plan for very intensive use of wireless technology. And so they put a Wi-Fi router in every classroom, and it shouldn't be too expensive, So I have seen many installations in schools where a company comes and they just attach the router to the ceiling and they're done, you know. They put a cross on the map and they're done. And this router is set to maximum transmission strength, 10 pulses per second, like all the Wi-Fi. And once you walk around in such a school with a gigahertz solutions meter or with an acoustic meter, then you realize that just with that installation of Wi-Fi, a huge increase in radiation has happened. So you could go from below 10 microwatts per square meters to 10,000 microwatts per square meter for the kids sitting right below that router, because there are 30 kids per classroom here. It's rather crowded. The ceilings aren't so high, and they are sitting all day under this router, and that's really something that nobody is paying attention to.
Yeah.
And so for me, that was a very important issue. And at our primary school, so we went to talk to the head teacher, and this is hard, you know, because it's like you are saying that they should not go along with the modern life.
Yeah.
And I found out that it makes a lot of sense if you read if you just look at all the books, for example, all the studies. So we mentioned Overpowered. I have here the other books that I have here, Cell Phones, Invisible Hazards in the Wireless Age by Dr. George Carlo, who ran a $25 million research program for the CTIA, the wireless industry in the U.S. This guy is now, he actually found health effects, and then they sacked him.
Yeah, that's correct.
It's amazing. You have these building biology books from German, excellent books. I have another one here, Cell Phones, written by Carly Cooper. Her husband actually died from a brain tumor. He was a microwave engineer. All these things. I mean, it's not like you and me are the first ones discovering this. And it's so amazing to see how little people know about this. And sometimes, so I'm thinking that if I look really into myself, for me it's the same. I only started looking into this when I started having health problems myself. Mm. And if I look into the future, I think that that is something that's just the way it goes with asbestos and with smoking. So, yes, we have managed now in our primary school to block the installation of Wi-Fi in every classroom. So actually we have an excellent system now, but that cost me a lot of time and you know, voluntary work. So we installed Chrome boxes. So these are wired boxes, and you fit them behind a computer monitor. So it has a separate keyboard and mouse. So actually, in terms of working, it's also much better than a laptop, because they wanted to buy laptops with 12-inch screens and a small keyboard and a huge Wi-Fi strength. So actually, they are now with how the kids are sitting behind the monitors and working, it's also much better now than the laptop solution. But the laptop solution was much more popular. And so I had a discussion with the head teacher, and the company CEO of the company who they hired to install their ICT, so the Wi-Fi. And this so I spent about 1 hour together with another parent of a friend of my oldest son, and he helped actually. He's working at a very large computer company, and he also became interested in the subject. And the CEO of this this company, after 1 hour, he was well, I don't know how to say this correctly, but we really pissed him off.
That's pretty. We got a message, yeah.
And he was really angry, and is this what you want? You know, he became rude. And it was a fight, you know. I mean, not literally a fight, but it was very hard to do. And I have the feeling that I managed to maybe stop this for 1 year, but these things are so, the things that are happening on such a scale that you cannot stop it. In the country, you have to, in some way, go along or make something new that can grow, like maybe ecological food. So I tried the eco Wi-Fi.
And just to get clear, Jan, on the solution, so we understand what happened at your children's school, the primary school. So you're saying that the Wi-Fi was eliminated or avoided, and instead it was these Chrome boxes which go with each monitor, which has a keyboard and mouse, which is all wired. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. So at first they wanted the Chromebooks because they're using the Google app system, and now it's the Chrome boxes. So they have all the same applications. They can use the whole Google education environment, only it's wired and with a much larger and more comfortable screen.
Okay.
They're quite happy now. And also the ICT company is okay with that in the end. And they actually sold the Chrome boxes to the school now. So they're okay with it now. But yes, there is a huge drive in the direction of wireless. I mean, there's no need to go wireless. They have all the same applications they wanted, only it's wired. But there's a huge pressure to wireless, and this is coming from the industry. So the last days we have seen a wave of governments spending tax money on wireless. In Germany, the government is spending 5 billion euros. That's about 100,000 euros per school in Germany on high-speed internet, Wi-Fi, and tablets. In the Netherlands, yesterday, the minister introduced a huge program to provide free wireless internet everywhere. They're putting a lot of tax money into 5G. So it's a very large movement.
We're running out of time, Jan. Just to clarify on the Chrome, so that is an off-the-shelf, this Chrome box you're talking about, that's just something you can buy, you know, on the internet or wherever in a shop. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. It's an off-the-shelf solution, yes.
It's an off-the-shelf solution. And very, very quickly, 30 seconds, we're going to just take one or two questions here if we can from a list. We're nearly out of time, but I just want to, if we can, there's got a chap called John in California who wants to ask a question. So just one question very briefly, please. Hello, John?
Yeah.
Hello, John? No, it doesn't seem as though John has got a microphone. So not to worry, because we're out of time anyway. But excellent information, and kudos to you, honestly, for this is groundbreaking for me. This solution that you've devised, it is so, you know, which you've put together. I know it's a package. It's in a commercially available router, and you've developed this software, which, as I say, for me, it's completely groundbreaking. And all companies and places that are receiving public, if they're equipped with Wi-Fi, then they should be mandatory that they're using your kind of Wi-Fi. That's very clear to me. But I guess we're a long way from that.
To tell this, in the primary school, we have 4 eco Wi-Fi routers, so they even have Wi-Fi, but it's low radiation, and they're not placed in the classrooms.
Okay, good to clarify that. So can you just remind the listeners where people can contact you to learn more information about what you've got to offer?
Yes, so on the website, which they can find also through your article, so that's jrselectrohealth.com, or shorter one is jrs.tech, so TECH. That's an easier one to type, and there they can find all the information, some background articles, science, and all the information about the eco Wi-Fi routers.
Excellent. Well, many, many thanks for firstly doing this work, for giving up probably, which was a lot better paid job where you were before, commit yourself to this, to this task, this mission that you took on. So thanks for doing that, most importantly, and secondly, thank you for being here today and sharing this with us, and for very very clear, because I know it's not easy, because English is your second language, but excellent presentation.
Thank you very much, and also thanks to all the listeners, and I'm very happy to be able to do this, and that you were able to organize this.
Okay. Thank you, listener, for attending today. Thanks to everyone who sent in the question. If you're looking for solutions to deal with EMS and their effects on health, this interview and all my previous interviews are available in the Electric Sense interview archive with full transcripts. I've interviewed dozens of scientists, electrical engineers like Jan, medical doctors, and alternative health practitioners on EMS and health, and they've shared some unique insights. Another aspect of my work is coaching on how to overcome electrical sensitivity. I offer one-on-one coaching via Skype, and details are on my website. In the next episode, I'll be interviewing another expert. Watch your inbox for details. My name is Lloyd Borrell from electricsense.com. Thank you, and have a great day. Many thanks. Bye-bye.
The conference is now completed. Goodbye.